So guess what? I'm super excited to announce that the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care is partnered with Buoy Hydration Products. Buoy is a really cool new invention. How is it different, first off, from all other hydration products that are out there? Buoy likes to call themselves easy, squeezy electrolytes. Let's be honest. Most of the time, if you look out on the market for products that, quote, keep you hydrated, it usually comes in the form of a powder or a pill or a tablet or some type of specific drink. And here's the other thing. There are so many sports drinks out there that are just loaded with sugar and all kinds of extra additives and sweeteners and whatever else. I mean, the FDA literally recommends every American get no more than 26 grams of sugar every day. That's the baseline recommendation, and you can easily eclipse that in one drink. Well, Buoy felt like the alternatives needed to be better. So they've come up with this really cool, squeezable product, if you will. It comes in a really small container, ideal to fit in a purse or a backpack or a fanny pack or somewhere if you're going out on the town, if you're going out for the day. Here's the thing about hydration. Hydration is so much more than just making sure that you get enough water. It allows your body to literally absorb and maintain electrolytes, nutrients, and all kinds of other things, which allow the body to actually function better. This is what makes Buoy so unique and different. One container has 40 servings in it. So you just take one little squeeze and your water, your coffee, your alcoholic beverage of choice, or whatever else you're drinking, and boom, it really helps your body maintain not just hydration, but allows you to retain all those extra nutrients, which will allow you to more optimally perform in so many areas of your life. So definitely give it a try. Please head over to justaddbuoy.com. Take advantage of our unique partnership and get a 20% discount on all your purchases by simply using the coupon code capital C, capital U, F-I-T, 20. That's C-U, capital F, and then lowercase I-T, C-U, fit, 20. And take advantage of getting 20% off of all of your purchases. I know that you're going to love it as much as I do. It comes in three different varieties. You can get the regular electrolyte, which is a small blue container. You can also get one easy Buoy Immunity and Buoy Energy. Try all of them. You can also find them in CVS drugstores nationwide. But definitely go to their site and take advantage of our exclusive discount and let us know what you think.
Welcome to this edition of The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care, everyone. I'm Allison Katzkowski, your host. Thank you for tuning in with me on this Tuesday morning. So today, I have a very special guest today. She and I were able to connect online. Deborah Hawkins is a writer, author, and blogger. And I knew when I read her information that I wanted to connect with her because she has a really unique way of approaching the practice of gratitude, which I feel like so many of us take for granted. So I'm super, super excited that she's here with me today. We're going to have a great conversation. Deborah, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Allison, for inviting me.
Absolutely. So before we get into the meat of our conversation, why don't you tell my audience a little bit about yourself, about your background, and really what brought you to today?
Sure. Thank you. My topic is really gratitude, but also about living mindfully. The two, to me, go together. And it's really incredible to think that this is now the focus of my life, considering the early part of my life where I was anything but grateful and anything but happy. I suffered some level of childhood trauma, mm-hmm. and as an adult had a low sense of self-esteem, and at a particularly low point in my life, in my early 50s, I decided I can't go on like this. I need to get out of this depression. I was prone to a lot of depression, mm-hmm. and I decided I would write a short reflection about things in my daily, everyday life that uplifted me, that I could be grateful about, that I appreciated. And I found that this kind of uplifted me. And I started doing this. And then I was a writer who wasn't writing, so I made it into a blog. So it gave me a good feeling of having an audience. But I took it a little bit further. I studied what seemed to work for me. And I recognized that I tended to be uplifted by certain types of things. And I said, aha, I have personal gratitude themes. Ah. I imagine everybody does. Uh-huh. And I decided that if everybody knew what their themes were, they could bring their own mood up and bring confidence into their lives by knowing what uplifts them and knowing how to find it in the world that is.
Okay. Well, that's really interesting. Can you tell me a little bit more when you said something really interesting, and I just want to highlight that for my audience. You said that you talk a lot about themes of gratitude. Can you explain what that looks like?
Sure. When I started this practice, I just started writing about whatever made me happy. It mm-hmm. could have been the ice when I'd hear the ice maker in my freezer, or noticing the tile in the subway station. It was probably ignored, but it was very beautiful. So I would write things like whatever came to me. But then when I reread all the blogs I wrote, and I've been writing almost one a week for 12 years, I realized that when I reread them that I tended to write about certain themes. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that if I don't leave it to chance, if I know what my themes are, I could find them by intention in the world that existed. I'll give you one or two examples.
Okay.
One of my themes is belonging. I love to feel that I belong either to a group of people or to the family of man. And if I'm in a situation and want to really uplift myself, I go ask myself, are any of my themes here? And I could recall being at a baseball game, like I'm from Chicago. Uh-huh. I'm going to a baseball game in Milwaukee. So that's only about 90 miles away. And I remember looking around the stadium and seeing almost as many Cub hats as Brewer hats. And I felt a really wonderful sense that my people were in this environment, and I felt extra good. So this gratitude process is not about leaving things to chance.
Ah,
it's about being mindful and knowing what to look for. And it's developed by doing a little self-examination. And I go over that in some of my books, but also in my classes.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of like emotional intelligence in a way.
Yeah, I was actually thinking that before you mentioned it. So that's interesting. Right.
The more you know yourself, the better you're able to identify what you like in things around you.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with that. So let's fast forward a little bit to your intentional gratitude practice. First of all, I think you've given me a general idea of what that is, but I want to go a little bit deeper for my audience. So I think everyone out there, at least most of my audience listening, I think we all understand what gratitude is and how important it is to be grateful every day. But as far as intentional gratitude, can you just define that for me?
Yes. I don't know if it has a pure definition, but I'll tell you how my approach is different and how I think it's beneficial to look at gratitude this way.
Okay.
Very many people are familiar with the idea of keeping gratitude journal as a list of scanning the day for things you were grateful about. Well, I think that's a good way to give yourself a positive reference in life and to remember whatever you're going through, chances are you're probably having some good experiences mixed in. So that has some benefit. But I really feel that that kind of approach gives your power away. You're depending on external events to respond to. And my approach is about getting to know yourself really well and look at some past experiences where you were really grateful and boil them down to the essence and think of those experiences in terms of widely applicable themes that you could apply to other situations. Like you would be, if you had a great experience eating chocolate ice cream on a pier when you were on vacation as a kid, you'd be hard pressed to try to like have chocolate ice cream and everything to, in order to be happy or to be grateful. But if you look at that experience, what the underlying reason for your gratitude or happiness is, you could decide that it's about treating yourself. And you could apply that to all sorts of situations. Or it could be about feeling like a kid. So everybody has to look at their own past experiences and identify some key qualities that really trigger that kind of response. And if they know themselves really well, so no two people have the same like gratitude themes. If you know yourself really well, you could actually by intention find those things in whatever was happening. I think that's one level of intention. The other level of intention, I think that really goes to boost confidence, is knowing that something you value is probably already in your life.
Interesting. So really, if I can just repeat back to you a little bit, I love how you really explained that, but in a very broad way. So people could, you know, literally like take just individual nuggets out of that to try to help themselves. So if I'm understanding you right, not only are you saying the how important it is for us to know ourselves, like intimately, but to really take ourselves back to when we were feeling the way we want to feel and then associate that with either a certain practice or something that was happening at the time. Is that correct?
I think that's a strong part of it. Yes.
Okay.
That if you honor your feelings, that really, and not just list things, if you really feel what you are feeling, that really supports getting the most benefit out of gratitude. Okay. And also, I think of gratitude as a way to celebrate yourself.
Yeah, I do too.
And that's a little bit different than maybe some people think of it. It's not just like responding well to something that you liked, but if you're actively aware of the things you value, it's like you're honoring who you are as a unique individual. There's nothing that explains you more. There's nothing that's more special about you than what you value and what you really want in your life. And that's a wonderful thing.
Well, and I love how you put that too, because I think in today's world, the way our society is, we almost don't put emphasis on what we value. It's more about being really attached to a certain outcome that we want. So I love how you say, you know, think about what's really important to you and, you know, ask yourself, how are you really feeling in that moment? And what can you do to actually replicate that when you find yourself in a situation where, you know, quite frankly, you might feel like you're struggling, you know, and you want to have an anchor habit that will help you get to a better place.
Right. I think that's really powerful. This again is my connection, the connection I make between gratitude and mindfulness. You probably experience or you practice mindfulness in the moment when you find yourself really grateful or appreciating something. So you register what it is and you practice mindfulness again when you look at that thing and really try to understand what qualities about that experience really gives you that feeling. And then use mindfulness again to identify how those things are showing up
in
different situations. So it really is very empowering. Mm-hmm. It gives you a lot of control over your own moods. It's not like you're not going to experience challenges and difficulties, but you can remember that the things you like and value, many of them are still with you. You can go through hard times and still enjoy a great meal or a good conversation with someone or whatever. And that really helps somebody's mental health.
Oh, totally, totally. Because I think, again, you know, the way today's world is, and social media really hasn't helped this. But in today's world, I feel like there's so much emphasis on what we see with our eyes. And it's not necessarily about, you know, what we're thinking, how we're feeling, really being in touch with ourselves. So I really like the emphasis on what is it that you value? When in your life did you feel this, you know, the feeling that you want to feel? Or when in your life were you at a place where you want to revisit that? It's really almost like you're giving yourself a gift.
It's really funny that there was a Benedictine monk that did a famous TED Talk, and he was interviewed by Oprah.
And oh, wow.
His name is David Steindl Rast. He said, if you want to be happy, be grateful. And I think there's a really strong connection between gratitude and happiness.
Because I agree.
In so many ways, you can't maintain happiness as a blissed out state, like the peak of something, because you're always afraid you're going to lose it.
Yeah.
Or something's going to ruin it. But I really feel that if you know how to bring yourself back to a state of gratitude, you could basically teach yourself how to be content most of the time, because it's natural. You slip out of it or you have other experiences.
Right.
But if you know how to come back to that state of appreciation.
We focus so much on what we have to do tomorrow or next week or what's coming up. And on the other hand, we're thinking about what's happened in the past. So I really do think a lot of people find themselves going, you know, back and forth like a ping pong ball between the two, rather than focusing on, you know, being in the here and now, you know, and, you know, really getting as much out of the moment as you can. Honestly, I think there's always something that you can be grateful for. I think it's just, you have to just be open to thinking that thought.
Being open and expecting that it's there if you just practice identifying it. It's very powerful. It's very powerful what you said about asking yourself questions.
Yeah, yeah.
And getting that habit.
And I think being self-aware is so much of how you view, or let me start over. I think being more and more self-aware is a key to not just being happy in your life, but being able to feel like you're moving forward and you're not just in this one spot. I think a lot of people will go around telling themselves, well, I just feel stuck. I'm doing all these things and I just feel stuck. And honestly, they're just telling themselves that. That's why they're thinking it. But on the other hand, I think really having a keen awareness and allowing yourself to feel your feelings, you know, regardless of if they're good or not. You know, and then saying, okay, what do I want this to mean? And how can I move forward from here?
Yeah, I think you explain things in the right sequence. It's like, if you feel your feelings, you're not judging yourself.
Yeah.
And you're accepting yourself. And that's always a great place to start. And I think we could all give ourselves more power by asking ourselves questions, very simple questions like, do I want to do this, continue doing this, or do I want to do something else?
Yeah.
You always have the power to re-choose.
Well, I think I'm really glad you mentioned that, because I do hear a lot of people say, you know, I won't say on a daily basis, but I do hear this often. I really didn't think I had a choice. I really don't have a choice. I'm committed to doing it this way. I've decided or whatever. And, you know, my rebuttal to that is always, well, you always have a choice. You're just choosing to stay where you are.
Right. I sometimes explain to people that if you think you have a certain goal, you want to accomplish something, and you're not getting there, you could change your tactics, what you're doing to get to that goal, or you could actually do a little self-exploration and ask yourself, is this really what I want? Because sometimes people are like upset with their effectiveness at achieving something, but actually their goal is not really aligned with what they would do naturally. So they might have to change their goal.
Yeah. And I think we have a tendency to be unrealistic too. I think we live in a world and a time where we really expect things to happen fast. You know, we expect things to just show up out of the blue, or maybe not out of the blue, because I don't really believe in that. But I feel like, you know, we have come to expect things to happen fast. And I think there's a real loss there when that's the case, because I think we lose the opportunity to learn whatever lesson is being put in front of us.
Yeah, definitely. I think I journal almost every day.
Mm-hmm. And I do too.
Just having a practice of asking myself what I think is really invaluable, because I can see some flaws in my logic, or I could see, like, I reread things I write periodically.
Yeah, of course. I do too.
And some people don't. They journal just to get something out. But I think there's so much in what you say when you're writing stream of conscious.
Yeah, I do too. And I think too, and I've learned this by working with my own coach, is that sometimes, to your point about just writing things down just to get it out, I think there can be value in that for some people, depending on if you feel like your mind is just always going a million miles a minute. You know, I think it forces you to slow down and at least assess. And hopefully, if you're being really honest with yourself, you're taking that opportunity to ask yourself questions like, wow, you know, let me just take a minute and read this. So I can see there being value in, quote unquote, just getting something out. But on the other hand, I think we're doing ourselves a huge disservice when we don't allow ourselves to read and ask ourselves the questions. Let's say someone out there is listening. This has been really, I could just keep talking about this for a while, but let's say someone out there is listening and they're thinking, okay, maybe this is something that I can do. Maybe they feel like they're doing their gratitude work or they're journaling or whatever, and they're still not really feeling like they've got something, you know, solid that they can work with. Maybe they just don't quite know where to begin. What would you tell them?
I'd recommend to practice taking time to be in the moment. That could just be like pausing by intention three times a day and just ask yourself, how do I feel right now?
Yeah.
What's happening in my body? What am I thinking about? Do I want to stay in this state? Do I want to change? Mm-hmm. And asking yourself these kinds of questions and taking note, this is not necessary that they have to write it, but it's helpful to have a record of what you're thinking.
Yeah.
To ask yourselves, what am I really drawn to? Like in this time, sometimes one of the exercises I actually do in my workshop is have people take out their cell phone and just see what kind of pictures they take. And sometimes if you look at these photographs, you could understand the underlying thing that you really value, why you were drawn to take this photograph.
Interesting. Wow,
so, interesting. In different moments, by practicing being in the moment, you could put the emphasis on how you feel right now, and you could learn about what kinds of things make you feel good.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think any way as coaches that we can teach people and model for them the importance of being in the moment and being self-aware, I think is a tremendous gift. And especially when it comes to self-care, because that's what we talk about on the show. I feel like that's one of the greatest ways to practice self-care, is to let yourself, not just let yourself be in the moment, but but really hone in the muscle that allows you to strengthen your sense of self-awareness.
Yes, definitely. Some people have asked me, how has my life changed?
Mm-hmm.
Because I practice gratitude this way. And I can't say like everything's always peachy and rosy and wonderful, but I can say I feel much less like a victim.
Yeah, I love feel that.
It's not about anybody else doing something to me. That's not what shapes my life. It's how well I can find resilience in myself to carry on in a difficulty and how I can go back to the things I really love and value and make sure they're at least a good part of my life.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, honestly, the majority of the things that we think on a daily basis don't really serve us. I mean, it's almost like we have this, you know, I want to say record player because I'm really dating myself when I say that, right? It's not like we have this repeat loop going on in our mind. And so I love how you just pointed out, I think you just illustrated being self-aware very nicely with that example, because I think we can think something that maybe wouldn't necessarily serve us or help us or teach us anything. But what we can do to really help ourselves is to ask ourselves, okay, what do I want this to mean? And what is it that can I take from this that's going to make me a better person, that's going to make me love and care about myself more? So I think we can always find that in just about anything that happens. Everything's always happening for us. It's never happening to us anyway.
Right. I gave a talk in February on writing a love letter to yourself.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things I talked about is like listening to your body and listening to whatever signal works for you that says something is not right here. So sometimes, because we were never taught this, we don't know how to be loving and caring to ourselves, but we know when we're not.
Yeah.
And we could pay attention, if we pay attention to when we let people walk over us or do something that's not in our best interest, we could say, this doesn't feel right. I could re-choose now.
Yeah. And again, that's just practicing, you know, self-awareness and being aware and showing yourself that you care about yourself enough to stop and notice. The majority of the time as to why we don't want to, you know, focus on something that maybe isn't helping us or confront something that could be potentially uncomfortable is that we don't like the way that it makes us feel. So our response can be, well, I'm just going to go over here and do this and I'll deal with this later. Only later never really comes. So I think one of the best ways that we can, you know, show ourselves a lot of self-respect is to, you know, allow ourselves to be aware of the positive and the negative, because life is 50-50.
I think that's really very wise, what you just said. It's like you can't control all the circumstances, but if you have a good self-awareness, you could control the amount of time you give to different things.
Yeah.
And you could also maybe not like an experience, but know that it's valuable for you to go through.
Exactly.
So that makes it a little bit easier to do, to go through, because you know it's adding to your growth.
Yeah, because it's everything. There's always an opportunity. It's just the question is are you willing to look for it? And are you willing to take from that opportunity something that's going to make you better for it? You know, I think there's value in anything that we confront for that reason.
I agree totally.
So, Deborah, where can people find you?
Well, I blog every week. I post a new blog, and my blog is, or my website is nosmallthing.net. It's kind of my philosophy that nothing is either large or small by on its own. It's only the only thing that matters is what we give our attention to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my blog, again, website is called nosmallthing.net. I post a new blog every week. But there's also information about my books and courses. So I have two books. One is a collection called The Best of No Small Thing.
Uh-huh.
And it's a collection of blog posts from my first 10 years of blogging. Mm-hmm. And the other book is called Practice Gratitude, Transform mm-hmm. Your Life, Making the Uplifting Experience of Gratitude Intentional. Mm. It's a very, very simple workbook on okay. my process.
Okay.
So they're available from any online retailer, and okay. information on the books are on my website.
Okay, awesome. So nosmallthing.net. So we will, all of those links, folks, are in the show notes. So if you are interested in connecting with Deborah and checking out her work, maybe, you know, subscribing and reading her blogs on a weekly basis, it sounds like they're probably chock full of all kinds of good golden nuggets. So I would recommend that you go over to that if you found this conversation enlightening and helpful for you. Deborah, thank you so much for being my guest today. I really appreciate and glad that we were able to make time to do this.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me, and thank you for keeping the conversation flowing.
Absolutely. My pleasure. So if anyone out there is listening again and you would like to connect with Deborah, please go and check out her blog at nosmallthing.net. Again, that link is in the show notes, so you can definitely go and check that out and see what she's up to on a weekly basis. And if you are a health and fitness entrepreneur or a coach, or you have a brick and mortar practice, or maybe you're merging the two, you know, even though we talk about self-care in this space, self-care can mean a number of different things. It doesn't just have to mean doing something physical or making sure that you're eating right and fueling your body and being active. You know, one of the best ways to practice self-care is exactly what Deborah and I have been talking about today. So if you are in this space and you're looking to add something different to your business, if you're looking to expand your platform in any way, expand your audience, broaden your reach, or create that new offering, I'd love to invite you over to my Innovate and Grow for fitness and health and wellness entrepreneurs, coaches, authors, blogs, you know, bloggers, whatever. Come over and join me there in that community where our focus is on innovation, because our conversation today is a perfect example of what the world is really asking from us as professionals. I feel like we have a really amazing opportunity in front of us, not just because of what we've been through for the last couple of years as a collective, but where we're headed in terms of you know, having the tools and the resources available to us to ensure that we prioritize the way that we take care of ourselves. So please come over and join me there. Let's keep the conversation going. And if you're feeling so inclined, I would love for you to leave us a review. You can look for my show on iTunes, any major podcast platform, or you can go over to Podchaser and leave us a review there. Reviews are what help people find us better, and this is what allows us to continue to spread our message. Before I sign off, I just want to thank you, all of you out there, for continuing to follow me and sharing my message with the world. We're heard all over the world, and we reach more and more people every week. And I could not do it without you. Just know from the bottom of my heart how grateful I am to be on this journey with you, because self-care is a journey. It changes as we change. This is Allison Kaczkowski. Till next time, you are living your ultimate life, and it can start at any time. Thank you for tuning into this edition of the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care.